Well, good morning, Calvary Chapel. Like Steve said, happy 250th Independence Day. Praise the Lord that we get to celebrate that, our freedoms. And hopefully we take those freedoms in this world and in this country and share the good news so others can experience the freedom, the real freedom, the author of freedom, Jesus Christ. Okay, so today's message is, may we all walk worthy of the Lord. And we're going to talk a little bit about, there's a wonderful prayer that Paul and the believers had because they had heard about the Colossians and their obedience and their love in the Spirit. But remember, the title, we haven't even got into some of the issues that gave Paul the reason to write the letter. There were some false teachings coming in. So I think it's important to remember that this we're leading up to why Paul's writing the letter to warn them. But he's also praying for them, preparing them, strengthening them as this false teaching is starting to creep in. So have you ever been going through a situation in life where you felt overwhelmed or you felt like you couldn't handle it or something seemed too big for you? No. I want that life. I want that life. That may be an angel among us, right?
Or a lie.
Or a lie. Oh my gosh, you guys are fun. You're fun. You threw me off. I didn't expect anyone to say no. So anyways, back to what I was saying. But if you can relate to this, those that you are like me that have had those moments, did you ever have someone who came up alongside you and lifted you up and edified you and encouraged you and prayed for you and reminded you of who you were, of the good that you can do? That, listen, you can't eat the whole elephant at once. You only take a bite. You know, they did whatever it was. They had that saying that they have, that unique saying that they have that helped put things in perspective, and you just felt like, okay, I'm ready to tackle this now. Well, I feel like that's what Paul's doing here in these verses with the Colossians. So I thought it was just really exciting to go through that and go, well, I really like what Paul's doing. Remember, through the Holy Spirit. So whenever I reference Paul saying these things, remember, Paul was saying these. The Holy Spirit was working through Paul. So God and Paul were in accord. They were common, in agreement as this letter was written. So this isn't just Paul. Sometimes you'll hear people talk like it's Paul and it's Matthew, and it's like they take out that the Holy Spirit was involved. Okay, so we'll see in here where Paul's prayer for the Colossians, it's specifically in verses 9 through 12, was in this similar manner of coming alongside, edifying and helping and preparing. And remember, and as Jesus did and Paul does, and as we should, we come up and we encourage and we remind them who we are in Christ, and then we talk about some things we can work on instead of just, you know, hitting them between the peepers first thing. We talked about that last week a little bit. Okay, so if you'd please stand for the reading of today's verses. Colossians 1, 9 through 14. I think I forgot to mention that, so I apologize. I didn't have slides to help me. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and longsuffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. This is the word of God. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your encouragement. Thank you for this prayer that we can take to heart as we overcome obstacles and false teachings and all the distractions coming our way in this world, just like the Colossians could back then, Lord. Your word is timeless. You are timeless. And Lord, you give us everything we need at the very moment we need it. Lord, we trust you. Please fill this place with your Holy Spirit. Help us to hear what we need to hear and understand what we need to understand. Help us to have your wisdom and discernment and your knowledge and understanding, Lord. In all these things, Lord, help us to walk out of here a stronger, more obedient, and more zealous for your word believer so we can make a difference in our circles of influence. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. So like I said, we all have challenges in our day, just like the Colossians did in their day. And I hope that as we go through these verses, we see them as an encouragement to us all. Because remember, this is the living word. It isn't just a letter to the Colossians. Actually, this letter was actually supposed to be read in other churches as well. So it applied to the Colossians and other believers, including those of us sitting here today. Okay, so verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom, spiritual understanding. So I thought this verse was a great recap because for this reason, what reason? Well, the reason is, and we talked about this last week, was their faith and their love in the Spirit. They didn't just hear the message. They didn't just hear the gospel and agree with the gospel, but it turned into action. Their faith turned into action, and it made an impact on other people. See, when we care about others, because we know Jesus cares about others, it's his desire that all would be saved. It's his desire that all would hear the gospel, the Great Commission. So he wants our faith to turn into action. If we believe and we know we're good to go and we don't care about others, that's not loving. So that's what they were celebrating here. And he's saying that's why we did this, for the reason that we heard it and we do not cease to pray for you. So he wants them to continue in the things they are doing while acknowledging, I know there's some things coming at you. Come creeping into your church. So their faith in action, they were faithful brethren to Jesus Christ. And I kind of sidetracked the verses because I don't even know if that's what it was meaning, but it hit me that you could be a saint, a believer, sealed with the Holy Spirit and quench the Holy Spirit. So you could be saved, born again, but not necessarily a faithful brethren in that moment. We're sealed. And who we really are in Christ is that faithful brethren. When the Father sees us as a born-again believer, he sees the righteousness of God. But the faithful brethren stuff is what we're going to see at the Bema Seat Judgment. What did we do when we walked in this life of faith? Hopefully we're not like the man who gets in by the skin of his teeth and all his works burned up. And it also talked about in those verses, because of the hope that they had stored up in heaven, they were aware of the heavenly treasures, no matter what their circumstances were here. They knew they had treasures in heaven stored up. Have you ever done things in this life and you're like, this isn't fair? Might even be for the church. This isn't fair. This isn't right. I'm not getting compensated properly. This isn't happening the way it's supposed to. But if you turn it around and you do it for the Lord, those things are being stored up in heaven. Even persecution. You may not think you're doing anything when you're getting persecuted, but Jesus says, blessed are you, and great is your reward when you live for me and you suffer for my name's sake. Blessed are you. Great is your reward. So what kept them going was that they knew they had that hope. And if you sometimes forget about that, that's what can keep you going. Remember, we're all about here. We're not here for the stuff that's here. We're here for the eternal treasures. And I have a feeling a lot of it has to do with the people that you impact in this life for God, that he uses you to impact in this life for God. And they knew about that, and we talked about that too. They knew about that hope because Epaphras, not Paul, not John, Epaphras, who I kind of relate to, just us normal Christians, hopefully being faithful ministers. And then there were two other guys that I didn't put in my recap notes, and I can't remember their names because they're just like us, you know? But they were the ones who carried the letters to these towns, these churches. He uses all these people. Paul did his part, and they did their part. God's doing his part. He's putting it all together. We are the body of Christ, and we're all needed. He wants to use every one of us. They were bearing fruit of the Holy Spirit as they loved in the Spirit. So that is the for the this reason. So because of that, they're praying for the Colossians, and they continued to pray for the Colossians. It wasn't just a one-time thing. They continued without ceasing. Paul talks about praying without ceasing. Praying, we should never get lazy in prayer. Prayer is something that is so powerful. You know, I'll bet you we have prayer warriors in here, but I have a feeling none of us really understand the power of prayer because we'd be praying a lot more. And like I said last week, you can be physically in a bed, you can't move, you can't, but if you can pray, you can move mountains, God says. You can move mountains. So don't think there's nothing I can do. I remember my grandma, she was getting old, and she's like, there's nothing I can do, I'm ready to go. I go, Grandma, God's got you here for a reason. Pray. Pray. If we think we can do more than pray and lift things up to God with our hands and our feet, I mean, we're misunderstanding. God can do amazing things if we'd pray to him. Interceding for others, standing in the gap, lifting them up and their situations up to the Lord for him to work. And he may say, okay, yep, now get to work when you pray. Be willing to go do whatever he says. But he might also bring someone else. You ever think you might be witnessing to the barber or the person in the grocery store and you don't know how that whole situation happened, but it could be someone in their family was praying that someone who wasn't white noise to them, because I know I'm white noise to a bunch of people in my family, like they already know what Uncle Jason's going to say. So I'm always like, Lord, bring someone else around to them that will impact them. But I think sometimes we're being used because of their prayers to reach out. That should be an encouragement to all of us. So hopefully, as we're praying, as I'm praying for you, hopefully you're praying for me. I mean, that this, all of us should feel that way. We pray for others. Hopefully they're praying for us. Like Kofi, we're praying for a hedge of protection as he's going out. Hopefully Kofi doesn't forget about us here. We need prayer too, Kofi. So he's there. Pray for us here in Battle Creek. Okay, back to the Colossians. Paul's praying for them in the knowledge of his will, wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. God's knowledge is unsearchable. It's beyond us. The only way we can tap into it and understand it is through the Holy Spirit. And we have to crucify the desires of the flesh and have the Holy Spirit, not quench the Holy Spirit, but have the Holy Spirit working actively in our lives for us to work and understand and work in the wisdom and the knowledge and the discernment of the Lord. So Paul is praying for them. So back to about the knowledge of God, the wisdom and knowledge of God. Romans 11:33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. But if we stray from God. So it's not like one day you're like, I'm going to decide to be all in on God, and then now I've got it. You have to stay anchored in him. If we stray and do not hold on to that knowledge, we have warnings like Romans 1:28. Now, this is talking about even unbelievers, but it also applies to us. Now, the only difference is we're not going to end up in the eternal lake of fire. But if we're not careful and we don't stay, we're going to suffer. Even as believers, we're going to suffer in this life because we're going to make bad decisions, flesh decisions. Romans 1:28 says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. And those unbelievers, they don't have an excuse either. So these are just kind of to let us understand the knowledge of God and how important it is for all of us to know nobody has an excuse. Nobody has an excuse. Romans 1, 19 through 21, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Remember, this is even unbelievers are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Rejecting godly knowledge is rejecting God. Hosea 4, 6, I know I'm a little scripture heavy here, but God just has a way of saying it better than I can, so I'm going to go with it. Hosea 4, 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they have rejected knowledge. I also will reject you from being priests for me, because you have forgotten the law of your God. I also will forget your children. The Lord provides wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Proverbs 2, 6, for the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. I'm really emphasizing this because if we do not remember these things and we trust in our own understanding, I'm going to get into this a little more. We all have so many distractions. Rick reminds us, the most distracted generation of all time. Wasn't that long ago, we didn't have those phones. I'm a little sidebar here. I was at work this last week, and I was going to the snack bar to get something. I'm walking by all these professionals, and they're all walking around like this. I had a person almost walk into me. A wide hallway, if you've been to the Fed Center, it's really wide. Almost walked into me. I had another person on the way to work one day. They flew past me. I don't know if you noticed this. A lot of people are passing in double yellow now. They just got to get to wherever they're going. She passes me, stoplight. So she's in this hurry, right? Well, now she's on her phone. So as the light turns green, she's not watching. She's on her phone. 30 seconds? You can't stay off your phone for 30 seconds while you're driving? Okay, I vented. That's out. And I've talked a lot about this too. These verses should bring a adoration and awesomeness, but also a fear of the Lord, a fear of drifting from the Lord. When you love the Lord and you know what he did for you, don't drift from him. Stay rooted in him. Because the enemy is always trying to get you to get away from him. Because I can't mess with him until he gets away, till you get away from the Lord. When you're clinging to the Lord, the enemy can't touch you. When you're going through the word and, right? You're sticking to the word. You're not getting deceived. You're not being distracted. You're clinging to the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. Proverbs 1:7 and 9:10. Proverbs 9:10. His awesomeness and perfection in all things. God is awesome. We can't even compare to him. Who do we think we are when we trust in our own understanding over the Lord? If we understand who God is, if we fear him properly, and I don't mean fear like, because we know what he did, how much he loves us. But just like if my dad told me, like, don't do that thing, and I knew he loved me, and he gave me great gifts, and he did all these things, but if there's something he told me not to do, when he walks in the room, if I'm doing it, there's fear. There's fear. That's how we should have that fear with the Lord. And here's the thing. Let's say there's other kids in there and they're like, hey, you should do that thing your dad said not to do. Well, if I properly fear my dad, I'm not listening to this bad advice. I don't even fear them because my fear is in its proper place in the Lord. In the Lord. So fearing the Lord casts out all other fear, which will drive us to believe his word and cling to his word. So all this wisdom and knowledge and understanding will be confirmed in the word of God as we stick to it, as we test it, when we hear things, right? So 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So Paul's praying for this for the Colossians as these false teachers are creeping in. Do we have false teachers creeping in today? I'm not going to name names. Most of you are going to know people I'm talking about. But there are some really big podcast people who have a lot of followers who are spreading a lot of hate and lies for those who support Israel. As Christians, they're claiming Christianity. And I got to be clear here, Israel is not deserving of God's promises. Like, it's not like, oh, well, Israel's good and that, but God is good. And he keeps his promises. So to say those who believe God and believe God's word and believe that Israel is still the apple of his eye and believe that a third of Israel will be saved at the end are evil, you do not properly fear the Lord. That's a scary thing. But I also want to encourage us, keep loving the word of God. Keep loving God and keep supporting God in what he says is going to happen. Don't fear those kids trying to get you to do what daddy said not to do. So the Colossians needed this wisdom. They needed this knowledge and understanding to combat the false teachings that were creeping in. And we'll get more into that in the future teachings of Colossians. Verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So this is the title of the message, that we may walk worthy of the Lord. If we have the knowledge and wisdom of God, and we are walking in his Holy Spirit, we are walking in the light, we are being truthful and honest with what God's word says, we are denying the desires of the flesh to counter, to go against what God has told us to do, our life will be worthy. Our walk will be worthy of the Lord. Because we are actually walking who we truly are in Christ. As we sing praise songs, I had this thought. I never thought of it before. Maybe you're like, well, that's weird. It's easy. We all thought of this. But as we're praying, we're using our flesh to praise the Lord. And my flesh doesn't naturally want to praise the Lord. So I think it's kind of neat, kind of like fasting. I'm forcing my flesh, my tongue, my body, my arms. I'm forcing my flesh to praise the Lord because of the spirit that is within me. That's what obedience is. It's the same thing. That's worship. When we do what we know we should do through the Holy Spirit and the flesh fights us on it, we are putting it in subject to the spirit. You guys remember the old wolf picture that Rick had up? You know, that's what we want. We want the Holy Spirit to be winning that battle every day. Did you know we can please God? I've heard Christians tell me you can't please God. It's a lot like a child. I love all my kids. Now, that guy who never had any problems, he might not have kids who did this, but I love all my kids equally, but they all don't please me equally. There's kids who are pleasing to me in a moment, and then there's kids who are not pleasing to me in a moment. And what is it? What's the difference maker? Obedience. Someone else probably gave a really good answer too. But obedience, it's they're doing what I expect them to do. They're honest. They're trustworthy. The worst of the worst are the ones who are dishonest. Where I'm like, man, buddy, I'm sorry. But now you may be telling the truth, but you broke the trust. You got to build it back up. It takes a long time to build it up. It doesn't take a long time to shatter it, does it? Just one big lie, maybe one little lie. So we can please God, and it starts with obedience. Belief and obedience. And just because you started unpleasant doesn't mean you have to stay there. You start obeying. You repent. You change. You have a change of heart. Lord, I know I've been messing with you. I know I've been testing you. I know I've been dabbling in these things that you've warned me for years not to, it's never too late to change. Change course. Pray. Ask others to pray for you, to intercede for you. We want to bear fruit for His heavenly kingdom. And we want to grow in the knowledge of God. And if we do those things, once we start seeing those things, when we examine ourselves, and I don't know how often you guys do this, but we should be examining our walk. You know, sometimes I examine my walk when I didn't even mean to, like work, and I have a day of work, and all these things are happening, and I get in my car, and some days I'm like, oh, that was a great day, a fruitful day for you, Lord. Other days I'm like, why did I say that? Why did I do that? The examination process is happening all the way home. Don't you like it when you feel good about it? When you feel good, like you had a testing against you, and you're like, man, I'm really glad I came through that, because last Tuesday I failed. It just feels better when you know you did it the right way. So is our walk worthy of the Lord? Do we ever even consider to ask ourselves, ask God, Lord, is my walk worthy of you? And we know we're not going to perfectly walk it. But it's about direction, not perfection. Are we going in that direction? Because you know when you're going in the right direction, and you know when you've taken a little detour for a little while, and you've tricked yourself into thinking, I mean, I'm still saved. I can go down this road. All things are beneficial, or all things are, I always mix that up. All things are not beneficial. Permissible, but not beneficial. But there's wisdom and knowledge and understanding in God to go, stop doing that thing that keeps causing you so much problem. We talked about that with temptations last week. Addictions are temptations. There are addictions you may have that aren't going to keep you out of the kingdom of heaven, but man, it's putting you through some hell here, isn't it? You're just like, why, Lord? Why? Why does this thing keep happening? And you feel this weight, but when you get rid of it, because God wants you to be free. God wants you to be free. In Him. So if we don't please Him in every way, be bold enough to ask the Lord to show you where you need to work. Because we want to be our best for Him, right? Verse 11, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and longsuffering with joy. So that word strengthened, in the Greek, it's dynamo, which if you remember dynamo, I think there was a detergent, like in the 70s, called Dynamo. Wasn't there? But it's a strength. Dynamo, like dynamo power. Dynamite, I was told recently, came from dynamo. Thank you, Roy. But it's used one other time in the Greek. And I really like to look at this. I like to kind of see the context. Okay, where is this word used? And sometimes you read it and you're like, oh, it's kind of some other words, maybe water it down or whatever. Not in this case. Hebrews 11:34, speaking of Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets. Now, some of these guys did some bad things, but the dynamo was when they were doing the good things, like Samson, David, Samuel, the prophets. I mean, think of the power you needed to be a prophet. Jeremiah, everything he said, they hated. They wanted to kill him. He never got that benefit of the nation going, oh, Jeremiah, the prophet, you know, like Nathan, Samuel. No, he didn't have that. They hated what Jeremiah had to say. It took dynamo strength from the Lord to do that. And we all have that available to us. And this is what Paul's praying for the Colossians. This is what the Holy Spirit and Paul are praying in this letter for the Colossians and the Laodicean church and all of us. If we accept it, if we believe it, and if we have faith and we want to turn our faith into action. Action. Dynamo, strength, and power is not really useful if it doesn't turn into action. You know, all these guys, they had their moments of dynamo power from God. And we can all have it. According to his glorious might, God's glorious might. He spoke, just imagine. I mean, we're talking about the creator of the universe. Just spoke the entire universe into existence. We're his children. If you're a believer, you're one of his children. If we get that dynamo power, it will equip us with great steadfastness, endurance, and patience. I do think that's interesting, patience. You don't think of that, patience. But I don't know about you, I can always use more patience. I run out of patience. But when I know this, that this is what God wants, he wants me to have his kind of patience. He wants me to long-suffering like he is long-suffering. I got to get on board with the Lord. When I'm tired and I'm like, Lord, I think you should have come back already. No. Thank you, Lord, for showing me where I'm failing. Jason, I've given you the Holy Spirit. Listen. Believe. Trust. Trust me, not your understanding. Who do you think you are? Who do we think we are? That's going to stick with me for, I think, the rest of my life. Who do I think I am? But we need that exact equipping as these. I feel honored that God chose us to be here in this time and place. When AI is going haywire and the Antichrist system is getting built around us, we don't know how long it's going to keep going. But what I do know is God's given us some dynamo power. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us everything we need to believe his word and stand against all the evil that is coming at us. And we're not only doing it for ourselves, we're doing it because we love one another and we love the lost people who are part of the problem that's bringing about this evil. But we have to love them too, just like Jesus loved those who, when he didn't bring down the legions of angels and destroy all those, he chose to go to the cross because he loved those who were killing him, who he allowed to murder him on the cross. Not murder him. He gave himself up. Sorry. But the opportunities we have, I think we misunderstand. So at work, when wrong's happening and you know, but no one else will speak up. Speak up. Speak truth. When people are saying racial things and you know it's wrong, speak up. You know. You have the Holy Spirit. They may not. If they do have the Holy Spirit, some of them, they're not standing for what's right. We have to stand for what's right. We have to do what's right so we can proclaim the good news of God, faith in action. Don't just believe a good message and then let all this stuff go wrong and stay silent. Speak up. I know it's easier for some of us to speak up than others, but speak up in your own way, the best way you know how. Ask the Lord to show you how. Do what's right when most are doing wrong. Praise and worship our one true God while others are praising and worshiping themselves, other men and women, beasts, and idols. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't feel like a qualified saint. I don't feel like I'm worthy. And that's me listening to my flesh. That's me listening to the enemy. Because the word of God tells me I was sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, and you've been covered in his blood, which was shed for all sins of all time of all humans, it's just you accepted the gift. You accepted him as your Lord and Savior. You've repented. You've been washed in the blood of Jesus. And when the Father looks at you, he sees the righteousness of Jesus. That's who you really, truly are in Christ. Not how you feel. It's not how you feel. Same way, you got to discount how the flesh feels when you're supposed to do something God told you to do in his word, and you don't feel like it. Well, so what? Be true to who you are in Christ. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. So therefore, the word of God tells you, as a believer, you are qualified, you are a saint, and you are destined for an eternity in heaven with the Lord. Not because of anything you did, but because of what Jesus did. I mean, he spoke the universe into existence, and his blood covers anyone's sins who believes in him. Stop looking at yourself through your flesh eyes. Look to Jesus. Trust in his finished work and the word of God. We're not in the word of God enough. It's the inerrant word of God. It's the living word of God. It will speak to us every day if we would just spend time in it. And when you do, your goals and your behavior should align with his. Because think about it. We go where we're looking. When we're looking here, we're going to head there. Well, if you're looking to the world and trusting in the world and pursuing things of the world, you're going to start looking more like the world. If we look to the heavens, if we look to Jesus, if we look to the word of God, and we get the wisdom and understanding from the word of God, we're going to start looking more like Jesus. I don't know if you've seen this. I've seen this in my own life, but when I start wondering why I'm feeling distant from the Lord, or I'm looking more like the world or sounding more like the world, or things are coming out of my mouth, I'm like, where is this? I have not been in the word. Or I've been listening to people and not listening to God. Both are bad ideas. Listen to the word of God. Listen to God. Pray to God. Spend time with him, and you will be more like him. It's that simple. But that flesh makes it not so easy, doesn't it? The flesh does everything it can to keep you from doing that. That's why Jesus didn't say, just wound them every day a little bit. He said, crucify. Crucify the desires of the flesh. If we truly understand what the Father has done for us through Jesus Christ, qualifying us to be partakers of the inheritance in heaven, we would be overwhelmed with heavenly joy. If we stirred ourselves every day to realize this, rainy day, angry driver, all these things that can get us rocked, if we really understood what awaits us, it wouldn't have an impact on us. We'd be like, but I'm going to heaven. Early on as a Christian, that's how I felt. Like all this crazy's going on, and I was still new to the whole idea, like I'm actually going to spend eternity with the Lord in heaven. So crazy chaos is happening, but I'm going to heaven. But somewhere in there, I got complacent, like, yeah, I'm going to heaven. It's rainy out. I don't like Battle Creek. I don't want to, you know, we got all these little things. Don't grumble and complain about anything so we can shine like the stars in heaven. So stir ourselves up. We got to stir ourselves up and be true to who God has made us to be. Children of God. So today we struggle to stay stirred up and joyful. But I think the big part of that is the distractions that we're always talking about. You ever see someone who's on their phone? When I was a kid, they called the TV the boob tube. Because you know, parents would see their kids watching the cartoon. And they're, you know, there's a lot going on in here, but the outward expression is just, right? Well, it's the same look with the phone. I mean, except now we got carpal tunnel wrists added in because you're swiping, swiping. And I have watched people swipe, swipe for a long time. And like maybe once or twice out of that 45-minute session, they laughed. I think they call it doom scrolling, I think. I mean, the name is appropriate. TikTok. I can't remember if we learned that here, but TikTok, like time going off a clock, what a waste of time TikTok is. TikTok, TikTok. Okay, verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Delivered. Jesus rescued us, saints. From what? From ourselves, from everything. From everything. Jesus did everything for us. And because we know God's not bound by time, he had this all planned out before he even created. He had the solution. He knew. He created us knowing we were going to screw it up. He created you knowing all the dumb things you did, all the dumb things I did. And in spite of that, he still did it and went to the cross and died for our sins. Incredible, incredible love. So when we believed on him, though, it wasn't like, oh, yeah, he transferred us. He took us from the power of darkness on our way to hell, on our way to the lake of fire, and put us into the kingdom of heaven. That's your destiny. Immediately. And if you've never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, it's that easy to just believe. You can't do it. All those other religions out there saying you got to do stuff, no. You can't do enough good. Jesus did it. You just got to believe in the one way that God provided, Jesus Christ. And as soon as you do, as soon as you truly believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you are transferred. Boom. That's gone now. The enemy will try to make you feel like you're still there. Your flesh will try to go. Your flesh really isn't going with you where you're going to go. So it's like trying to drag you down and keep you from acting like who you truly are in Christ. Remember that. Remember that. Like who your flesh really is. He's a dead man walking. He doesn't know it. But doesn't that sound kind of sound like the rapture a little bit? Transferred. Like, I always picture this thing, because we're the bride of Christ, right? And there's some people who think we're going to go through a lot of this stuff that God's going to unleash on the world with his bride here. I don't believe that. So when I think of the rapture, I always picture this, and I this is a little artistic license here, forgive me. But I always think of it like, not my bride. Not my bride, nope. She's with me. And the rest of you, I love you. But this is getting poured out on you because you still need to be tested. But my church passed the test because they believed in me. And once you believe, if you haven't done it, once you believe, you are sealed and no one can take you out of his hand. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Again, we are redeemed. Again, not for anything we did, but everything he did. The works that we should be doing prove the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. The works don't get you into heaven. We've been forgiven. We've been redeemed. We've been delivered of all our sins, past, present, and future. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ for saving all of us. And please give us a desire to share the good news with those who aren't there yet. We have to love them like he loves them. We have to share this gospel. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, but we can't stop there. There's many that don't have that. Is it dry in here? Yeah? It's weird with all the humidity. We know his desires that all would come, would hear the gospel, come to the knowledge of the truth, and be saved. The knowledge of the gospel. We got to stay in the knowledge of God. In his word, not in our own understanding. That'll protect us from thinking we're something we're not. Staying in his word. Final thoughts. One of the biggest challenges to us today is keeping our focus on the Lord throughout our days is self-control. We actually sang a song about self-control. I think we struggle in this society, but even as the church, with self-control. There are so many things that are thrown at us, that are available to us, that it's hard to say no when it's right there. The phone is one example. Look at the statistics. There are people struggling with a lot of things because that phone, it's right there. You just have a weak moment, just a weak moment. That thing that you thought you were over, you could be right back in it. We also have we're a pretty rich nation. So you have the means to go spend the money and buy things that you don't even consider the Lord in. They're completely feeding the flesh. Are we being good stewards? Are we even considering asking God anything? You guys all know about my camper that's tormenting me in my yard, always reminding me, yep, Jason, there's that thing. There's one thing you bought that you didn't ask me about. I kind of like it now because it's a good reminder, because I don't want to do any more of those, you know? But self-control. I think there are a lot of things in life that we just take for granted and we don't understand. There's things like in a board meeting that maybe you're having at work and someone says something and there's something you could say, but there's something you could not say. Self-control. When there's chaos on the highway, and instead of going, you know what, maybe I'll let the chaos go ahead of me, maybe we don't have to drive through it all to get way away from it. Maybe we just back off a little. Maybe sometimes it's the other way, but self-control. Let God guide you. Let his word guide us, not our flesh. Don't do what our flesh wants to do. If I set goals, Lord, I want to lose this much weight. I want to do this. I want to do this. You know what's coming? Someone's going to bring a really nice dessert over. And maybe I can have a little bit, but I don't need to eat the whole thing. Self-control. Well, why did I even come up with that? But remember, we don't have an excuse because we have the Holy Spirit. We have that dynamo power. We have that strength that we can say no to those things. I think sometimes we go on cruise control and we don't even think, Lord, why am I about to look at this? Why am I about to open up that site? Why am I about to read about that news item? Why am I going to buy that thing at the grocery store that counters the goals I just set for myself? I'm so close to getting done. I don't want to cough in your ear. Self-control. I think that's one of the best ways. Sorry. If we can get through those little battles, we will walk worthy of the Lord. I think that's one of the things that we're struggling with. We need to live this life in the power of the Holy Spirit so we can be the best we can be for the Lord. And we've talked about this before. As we see the day approaching, remember, we're supposed to fellowship all the more. But anyone who's done a race, or if you played in sports and it's near the end of the game, that's where you want to be your best. That's where you want to be clutch. That's where you want to run the fastest. That's where you want to run the hardest. You don't want to tucker out at the end. We're near the end, saints. So just this kind of hit me. I knew this verse. I mean, it's a really famous verse. But this, it hit me different this time. So it's Luke 14, 25 through 27. Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them. Now remember, great multitudes are with Jesus, and he really wasn't worried about making it a megachurch, because then he said tough stuff. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and here's what stuck out to me this time. Yes, and his own life also. Hate his own life also. He cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. I'm not in this trying to avoid being a disciple. I want to be the best disciple. And he's telling me how to do it here. Self-control. I have to do what he wants me to do over what I want to do. I have to love him and love me less. I have to love him and love father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, everyone less. Which the paradox is, if we love Christ in the proper perspective, we're going to love all these people more than we ever could have had we put them above God. So then looking at the following verses, 28 through 33, I really like this because this takes consideration, knowledge, wisdom, understanding, considering what we're saying, what we're doing, what we're committing to when we follow Jesus. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king goes to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Jesus wants us to consider it, consider the cost, and make sure we know what we're doing. It's not just some empty thing we say and we do. It takes self-control. It takes sacrifice. It takes really knowing who God is that we're saying is our Lord and our Master and our King. Who is he? And if we understand him, who do we think we are to disobey him, to change what his word says, to call out people who are following him, like some of these people I just mentioned earlier, and call them evil? Because, folks, I think it's coming. I think the longer we stand, this little church and some other churches, not the majority of churches, and we stand on his literal word and the ones he loves, we love, we're going to get persecuted by churches. It's coming. And we have to be prepared. And I see those churches as those little kids in that room trying to get you to do something dad said don't do. Don't fear them. Don't listen to them. Properly fear the Lord. And don't change his word. Serve him. Love him. Be full of the Holy Spirit. Jesus doesn't want temporary followers. And he doesn't want you to be mocked when you say you're going to follow him and you do things. And then they're mocking you. Like, look at this guy. Look at this guy. Says he's following Jesus and he did this. He didn't finish the race. How bad does it look for us explaining all these people who are deconstructing their faith? Don't give up on those people. Pray for them. But it doesn't look good for the church, does it? It doesn't look good for the church to have all these different divisions. And people are like, well, why are they okay with this lifestyle and you're not okay with that lifestyle? Well, because God's word says so. But it's confusing to many of them out there. I've had so many people tell me, how do I know which one's the right one? The word of God. But now they got that burden, you know? You can't doom scroll the word of God. You actually have to take time. It's a lot longer than a 15-minute podcast. You have to pay attention, too. In a lot of our society, they've burned themselves out. You talk for more than 5 minutes and they're all spacey. You guys aren't doing that. You're doing a really good job. He wants us to all know who he truly is, what he did for us. He wants us to make decisions to love him more than everything else, including ourselves. Including our wants and desires. I want God to see that I am doing things for his wants and desires over my wants and desires. And when I evaluate that and I examine myself, I'm going to feel good about those decisions. And when I mess up, because I will and you will, When we examine ourselves and we feel bad, you know what? Tomorrow I'm going to do a better job. And not through effort, through crucifying the desires of the flesh, letting the Spirit have his way with you. And change your habits. Habits are a big thing too with self-control. If you've got problems with self-control and you go places and you're like, every time I visit with that guy or that friend or I go to that thing or I do this habit, it ends in disaster. Consider the cost. Consider it. Don't just keep mindlessly going there and going, why is nothing changing? You know, I think I need to change some things. Yeah, we do. We do have to. And if we ask the Lord, he will help us. So after verses like this in Luke that we just read, Jesus then warns of salt losing its saltiness. I didn't want to, for time's sake, I didn't read it, but that's exactly what he goes into. Salt losing its saltiness. And he says, if it loses its saltiness, it's good for nothing but to be trampled underfoot by men. So if any of us are feeling less salty, let's do something about it. What's the best thing we can do? Get in his word. Amen. Consider all these things and decide today who you will serve. Put your flesh in its proper perspective. If it's Jesus, repent, get up, and be the salty saint that you truly are in Christ. That's who you truly are in Christ. Don't let the enemy lie to you. Don't let your flesh drag you down. Don't let your flesh steal Bema Seat rewards, because that's exactly what your flesh is doing. True believers, Rick just preached on this, true believers always get back up. They don't stay down. No matter how many times we fall, we always get back up. And you know what's cool, really cool? Satan hates it when you get back up. The enemy hates it when you get back up. And sometimes God allows us to fall. And when you get back up, you're a little wiser now, and you can maybe help someone else not fall in that same way. Satan really hates that too. God allows us to make mistakes all the time. And he's so good, he can take our dumb moments and bless others through them. So Satan wants us to feel defeated. He wants us to stay down. He wants us to think we're defeated. But he's defeated. Satan's the one who's defeated. We are the victors through Christ our Lord. To end, I'd like to just finish with this prayer one more time that I've already read at the beginning through the Holy Spirit. May we all be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, walking worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering, with joy. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for keeping it real, Lord, with your truths. Lord, help us to not listen to the lies and the deceptions that are in the world, that come from the enemy, and that come from ourselves, from our flesh. Lord, help us to be our best for you, to have no regrets, to get back up when we stumble and fall, and to minister to one another, and to hope that we can keep them from falling in a similar manner. Lord, please bless everyone here. Help us to take out of here what you want us to really stand out in the communities you bring us, to be bold for you, and to be willing to speak up because we have your Holy Spirit in us, and most of the people we're around do not. Lord, help us to not stay silent, but to speak truth and to be full of your wisdom and knowledge in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.